Cape Talk. Cape Talk. Call Pippa now
on 021-446-0567.
That is the number to dial if you would like to ask a motoring-related question. Ernest Page of changecars.co.za is on the line with us now to tackle your questions and to fill us in on the latest motoring news. Ernest, always great to have you with us. Welcome.
Oh, fantastic to be here, Pippa. And this week, we're talking all things Suzuki. I'm driving a Suzuki at the moment.
Yeah.
Not quite something to my personal tastes, but we'll delve into that in a moment.
Okay, we'll talk about the Suzukis, and then just a reminder that you are welcome to call in or send a WhatsApp to 0725671567 on any model of car or the choice between various models for that matter. If you are looking to make a purchase or needing some advice, you're welcome to dive in. First though, let's talk about the Suzuki, and I'm quite surprised to hear you saying you're a bit meh about it, because I know this is a brand you're usually quite positive about, Ernest. What have you been driving that failed to meet your expectations?
So let's talk about what I don't like first. And it doesn't have power steering. And I've got some old shoulder injuries.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm a bit soft in my old age. But you know, when we were taught to drive, we were taught that you first need to move the car before you turn the wheel. That's technically the correct way to do it.
Okay.
You get to a stop sign, and once the car starts moving, then you turn the steering wheel. But we've all gotten so used to power steering. So now many of us, including me, can just do that one-handed turn in the parking area when the car's not even moving. So you can't do that with the new Suzuki Eco, because it doesn't have power steering. It doesn't have electric windows. It doesn't have many of the creature comforts that we've kind of come to expect to be normal in modern cars.
Okay.
But there is a reason for that in this little panel van.
And what is the reason? Yeah.
Well, the reason is cost. Safety, we've spoken about this many times before. Safety is not the main purchasing factor when it comes to South Africans buying cars. It's cost. So if cost is the main concern, Suzuki has certainly addressed that better than most by bringing in a slew of cost-effective cars. So they've basically exclaimed, as one of my colleagues said in his article, the mini loaf is back. And that is, remember the old Suzuki half a loaf they used to call
it?
Yes. So the mini loaf is back, and that's what the Suzuki Eco is. It's a tiny, tiny little car. The dimensions are so small, but it's a little panel van. It actually measures 1.6 meters in length, and the cargo box at least, and the width is 1.3 meters in width. So it's very narrow. Total length is 3.6 and total width is 1.475. But you can fit a pallet on the back inside this sort of cargo bin. So this is the new panel van where on the scene, where mostly before, this segment would have been filled by half-ton buckies. There aren't that many half-ton buckies anymore.
Yeah.
So Suzuki has seen a gap, and they've provided us with a very capable little panel van, although it is stripped down to its bare bones.
Stripped down of the luxuries, but cost reduction may be a big factor. Safety is still important. What sort of safety features does the car have?
So this one in South Africa does come with quite a few safety features. You've got dual airbags. You've got stability control. You've got ABS. You can even adjust the lights up and down for when you have extra cargo in the back so you don't blind anybody. So it does come with a reasonable amount of safety features. But the one that was tested, if you are looking for the NCAP test, it did score 0 stars on the NCAP test in 2016. But in its defense, that model didn't have airbags. So the Suzuki Eco in South Africa does come with airbags. But this does bring a bigger question up, which is, have we become, and nothing against the Suzuki or any specific brand, but have we become a dumping ground, excuse the word, for cars that can't go to Europe? Because the European standards for safety are so, so much higher than the South African standards for safety. So are the emissions laws, etc. But, you know, the answer to that question is, in fact, yes. But at the same time, if cost is the biggest consideration when purchasing a vehicle in South Africa, and we need as many cost-effective cars here, then that's what's going to happen. The people want something that they can afford. And at just about 200,000 for the eco panel van, you're looking at something that is one of the cheapest cars on the market, and with an installment of as low as 3,799 with a 10% deposit and no residual, you're looking at something that will cost you in total over 72 months about 280,000. And as a business owner, this seems like a no-brainer if you just need to cart things around. And we've spoken about this for florists in the past.
Yes.
It doesn't have aircon in the back, but it does have air conditioning.
Okay, so not in the back, but it does have it in the car. I'm thinking of the little Renault, I think it's the Kangoo, which is the Renault sort of panel van. Is that the equivalent sort of size and competitor bracket we're talking about?
Exactly. So Renault now, their current lineup looks like this. They've got the Triber Express, which is their panel van. It costs 25,000 more than the Eco. You got the Hyundai Atos panel van, which is teeny tiny. It costs 5,000 Rand more than the Eco. Hyundai's Grand i10, 30,000 Rand more. Kia's Picanto, 30,000. And Mahindra, 10,000 Rand more. So this is in the market when it comes to panel vans. It's got the highest carrying capacity of all of these cars that I've just mentioned now. It's got the most power, the most talk bar the Mahindra, and it costs the least by a decent amount of money in most cases. So when you're looking at the major consideration, performance, ability, and cost, then this Suzuki Eco makes a very good case for itself compared to the others.
Ernest, I look at this car. The other thing I think of immediately is surfers. You can put a surfboard inside that car, and it looks like it might have enough space to fit a decent-sized camper mattress in the back if you wanted to sleep over at the beach. Am I being too generous in my assessment of the space?
No, not at all. In fact, you've hit the nail on the head without me having to mention it, is that this one that I've got here is actually kitted out for beach life.
It's
out for Suzuki and Frontrunner have come together to build a little demo model. To be honest, I think they know that us journos are going to pull our noses up at a stock standard Eco. So they've given us something that's a little bit more user-friendly, shall we say. Because I don't have any use for a panel van unless it's race week or race weekend, so to speak.
Yeah.
But what they've given us is a car that's got a bed in the back. It's got a kettle. It's got a shower. It's got storage. It's got candles, scented candles, no less.
Oh, no less.
And then it's, I know. And then it's got rusks in the little drawer. So this one's been fully kitted out, and I think this is just a demonstration to show that you can fit awnings on our. I actually went to the Frontrunner website, and there's a whole bunch of equipment that you can upgrade your Eco with. And it's also just to show that Suzuki are, I think, one of the best when it comes to utilizing the space on the inside of the car.
Right.
Most of their cars look teeny tiny when you look at them from the outside, but once you get inside, you realize, like the Jimny, for example, the five-door Jimny, it's actually quite spacious inside there. So Suzuki have used this Eco panel van to demonstrate that even though it is diminutive in size, there's a lot that you can do with that space if you're smart about it.
Somebody asking on the WhatsApp line whether it's tough enough to withstand strong winds. It looks a little bit lightweight, is their comment. And that's a fair comment when you've seen the footage of things blowing over on the viaduct outside the Huguenot tunnel in the last few days. Ernest, is it stable enough?
Yeah, I think I was doing about 80 or 90 on the highway, which is about as fast as you want to go with this car. And yes, wind is going to be a massive problem with this car. It's got a flat, broad side. And just look at the cars that was the rear section of a truck that got blown over. So I do think that is the extreme version of wind in South Africa. And that's not something that's going to happen often. That's something that's going to happen once every couple of years to one or two or few unfortunate individuals. So I don't think that's going to be a problem necessarily, but Suzuki have been known to build the bottom half of the car to carry quite some weight. So I do think it will be stable enough to pass any sort of safety tests, but you don't want to be going through the tunnel when you've got storm warnings in Cape Town, that's for sure.
Yeah. I have to say, Ernest, I think it might have been before your time on the show, but I had an incident where our trailer was blown off the back of our car in extreme wind conditions. And the irony is that day we'd got a different route because we wanted to avoid the approach to the tunnel in Franschhoek precisely because of those wind conditions. It does happen from time to time. And boy, it's a scary thing to go through. So it's a very, very fair comment.
What happened? Could you explain exactly what it felt like?
You know what? We hardly felt it. We heard it more than we were aware of it initially, feeling it at first, because we heard this whoop, which was the sound of the trailer. And I'm talking about a windsurfer trailer, the size of a small horse box, being lifted off the back of the car, blown onto its side, hurled across the highway, thankfully missing an oncoming car by a fraction. So nobody was injured, no damage done. And in fact, even the bottles of wine inside the trailer survived intact.
to calm the nerves once you got to
We can laugh now, but very scary thing to experience. And just, you heard the noise and then there was obviously a wobble at the back of the car as the weight sort of situation shifted. But it's just extraordinary how that wind picked up that trailer like it weighed a featherweight. And it was a really, really solid, large, heavy thing. So it's not something to take lightly. So I appreciate the person asking that question. It's a very, very valid safety concern. You mentioned the issue of the safety ratings and how we get cars here that would not pass muster in Europe. Jill asking, does the same apply to the Suzuki Espresso? She says, they're all over the place. They do seem like they offer really good value for money, but are the safety specs good enough?
Yeah, so with a quick Google of the safety ratings, Espresso here, it's got 3 stars in South Africa.
Okay.
The global NCAP rating. So Espresso was one of the cars that was tested locally, which is very interesting with the global NCAP launch in South Africa a while ago. So it got 3 stars. And again, the safety rating these days is much, much stricter than what we had 10, 15, 20 years ago even. It's always getting updated because as the new technology becomes standard, it's expected that certain cars have certain things. So the vehicles from India, for example, there's a requirement now for them to have 6 airbags fitted on a lot of these cars. So a lot of these cars are much, much safer than they would have been many years ago. Suzuki Espresso being one of them. Yes, it's a tiny, tiny little car, but it's got multiple airbags. And according to this press release by Global NCAP, it scored 3 stars, which is fair, which is a fair rating.
Okay, thank you for that, Jill. Just for the person asking, the vehicle, the panel van that Ernest's been discussing is the Suzuki Eco, and it's spelled E-E-C-O. So coming in at around about 200,000 Rand. And as Ernest has said, if you are a small business needing to move items around, it's definitely a contender in its class. I'm happy to take questions, by the way, that don't deal with Suzukis. The fact that we seem to have been talking about them a lot doesn't mean you can't ask about other cars as well. So please, we've got a couple of minutes in hand. WhatsApp's to 072-567-1567. If you would like to ask a question, maybe we should go to one that came in on email from Nick. And he writes, my accelerator just doesn't seem to kick in consistently. There seems to be a bit of a lag sometimes before I get a response, but it's not all the time. Any idea what could be causing that and whether I should be worried?
Does Nick specify what type of car it is by any chance?
Doesn't, no.
So, Nick, if it's got a accelerator cable, that's a direct link, kind of like your bicycle brake cable.
Yeah,
it's a direct link to the accelerator or throttle, which is effectively just a little flap. So when you push the accelerator cable, that cable then pulls the flap open or lets it close again on a spring. If you've got a feeling of your pedal being like we call sticky, that could mean that the sheath holding the cable is sticking onto the cable, or the throttle body butterfly, as it's called, because it opens and closes like a butterfly wing. That could be your problem as well. A quick check with your mechanic or technician will be able to get that sorted for you or diagnose for you. Then the other option is drive-by-wire, which is why I asked about later cars.
Yeah.
If it's a later model car, that means that there's no cable. And all it does is it senses, based on a potentiometer, what your throttle position is. And then once it selects what your throttle position is, it then opens up the throttle according to what the electronics are saying. If that is an issue, then that will need professional diagnosis, because the throttle body itself could be faulty, the pedal could be faulty, any of the electronic modules could be causing an issue, or your car could just be down on power because of a spark plug issue. Maybe a service is needed.
Right.
But either way, you're more than likely going to have to visit a technician to get that checked out. And also, if the car is feeling sluggish, you know, where the old people used to tell us we need to go take our car for a little burn up the highway, that's not always a bad idea.
Yeah.
Sometimes if we drive our cars too slowly all the time, then they just need to let all the exhaust gases stuck in all those little crevices escape. And so nothing wrong with a little quick blat up the highway and put your foot down a little bit.
Okay, so that sounds like the easiest and cheapest version to start with as a potential remedy. Yes. Although with the cost of petrol being what it is, maybe I should take that back, Ernest. But thank you.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah. This is true.
Nick, at least some direction there on, and obviously according to what vehicle it is that you're driving, you might take that and run with it in whatever direction you see fit. But thank you for your question and good luck to you. A reminder that if you have got a question, if you are facing a conundrum or perhaps considering between two different vehicles that don't know which one to choose, you're welcome to send your question through during the week, and we can then put it to Ernest the following Wednesday when he's with us. You just drop an email to pippah@capetalk.co.za. Ernest, we look forward to having you back again next week Wednesday, and please drive safely in the interim.
I will be driving safely and very slowly.
Okay. Promise. Ernest Page of changecars.co.za.